So, Nadia, thank you for having a chat today. The Riley Foundation is doing amazing work. Perhaps just tell us how you arrived at the organisation, about the foundation itself.
Sure. I'm one of the original founders of the Riley Foundation. So our purpose and our mission is to support families navigating the child protection system. I've come out of an education background for a number of years, and I identified that it felt like I was just band-aiding a situation. So families were struggling. I was supporting the kids in my role, and I got burnt out pretty quickly. And so I wanted to find out what else I could be doing for families in this space. And I identified that when children had been removed or at risk of being removed, there was very little support provided to families. So with my social work background, I decided to form an organisation with a number of people on a board to be able to bring change to this space, because if we don't actually support the families, the children will remain in care. So helping parents to build capacity is really what the role of the Riley Foundation is, helping them to understand the space, helping them to understand the requirements that the department has of them, but also helping them to understand the gaps in their parenting and how to build that.
So Nadia, what leads families to this situation?
There's a number of things. I think it's a lack of services early on would probably be something that everybody would agree to. Poverty is a really large reason why families find themselves probably at the identification of the department, but it's a multitude of things. Disability is something that also has a factor, because their parenting may not be up to the level that children required, and they might not have the supports in place to be able to help their children. Domestic violence is one of the largest reasons where children have been removed. Substance issues is also something, and I think cultural backgrounds, how we parent in Australia might not be the same as what is accepted overseas, and so, you know, socialising into our nation might be difficult for some families. What is important to know is that the families that come to Riley want to do better. They want to know what they want to do, what they need to do to change. And so they're very committed to understanding and what can they do differently to ensure that their kids can come home.
So these are families who've lost the children, want them back. How have they found you? How do they typically find you?
A number of, I think, word of mouth from other families that have attended our workshops, or other parents that have worked intensively with us, government agencies, the departments for child protection, human services, health, refer clients to us that they're linked, especially if babies have been removed from the hospital. Families need connection immediately to be able to provide that support. We also have other NGOs that support our organisation and help us to be able to link with these families that they work with. So if we have a family that is experiencing substance issues and they're linked with an organisation that can support them with that, and they have their children removed, they then link them with us so that we can provide this support that we do.
Nani, that was actually going to be my question about substance abuse, because it is very common these days. So that means they've not only got to get over that hurdle, but then that hurdle of bringing their children back into the fold. They must be very difficult decisions for the department to make. How does that get navigated?
In terms of removing the children because of substances?
Yeah.
I think it would be really difficult for the department. They really need to hold the child at the centre. They need to make sure that they are focusing on what they need, and they also need to navigate what parents, how to help them to understand what is required of them. And so parents really need to come to meetings and help the department to understand that they've made these changes. What are their strategies? What are their triggers? How do they have a relapse prevention plan? And I think that goes with any of the child protection concerns, in as well as mental health. Mental health is one of the biggest reasons that children are removed, and probably there's an intersection between mental health and substance and domestic violence, probably the three main reasons why children are removed. So it's about helping them to link with those services, but then also helping them to understand what they've learned, what's changed, what would they do differently? Do they understand what their kids have gone through? And so we see really a massive growth with families that have been able to access the services. The problem we have is that there are not enough services.
Of course, I was going to say, what are the demand levels?
For Riley or for services?
For Riley, yeah.
Yeah, it's...
And how do you select someone?
Yeah, it's really hard to. So we've created our workshops so that parents can actually go into those workshops if they're waiting for some intensive support. So we can support families anywhere from the department hasn't removed, that, so they may get involved or they would like some support in helping parents to understand maybe a family group conference, all the way to maybe a short-term order or reunification order, but also at a long-term order when children won't be returning home necessarily, that they will remain in their placement, especially if it's foster and kinship care. So helping parents to understand that they're still really important in those children's lives. So in terms of how do we select, as parents come through, we just triage them into whoever can support them at that time. If we do not have a social worker available, we will then encourage them to go to one of our workshops so that they can receive some support. The demand
is too, though. It's certainly a fantastic service, and obviously I can imagine that you have got a greater demand than what you can provide. Right. You've been very fortunate getting some grants, and they've come about through structured giving. Talk to us about structured giving and how that's helped and what those grants were.
I can't thank the providers of those funders enough, because Riley wouldn't be here without that, because it was an opportunity for them to understand what we were doing, what our vision was for the future, but also that we would need some funding to stabilize us so that we could elevate ourselves and figure out what is it that we need to be sustainable, and that we've only been able to achieve that through structured giving. So when you receive small grants for particular projects, then you actually create those programs around those grants, and they can be really restrictive. When you have structured giving, it's over a number of years, but it's also you present to them what is it that you need these funding for, and they have an understanding, a sophistication to their understanding, that actually this organisation needs a bit of seed funding first. They need to be able to stabilise, have some the staff that they need in place, and so that they can actually elevate and make those decisions and explore different options that might not have been possible. That's what Riley's going through right now.
And what are the grants that you received, and what were they for, Nadia?
Sure. So one of the grants we received, our largest grant, was through Community Capital and 10x10 Philanthropy. So we went through a process of pitching at a 10x10 event, which is an amazing event. And so at that event, we discussed what we did, and we then went through a process of engaging in the grant process of being assessed. So it was a significant funding over 3 years. It was $1.1 million over 3 years, and that's been advertised publicly. So that and it's an incredible amount of funding, and that has also opened other doors to other funders, because once you have stability, other funders would like to actually support that also, and they want to see your success, especially an organization like Riley, which falls within the gaps. It's not really something that's generally funded by government, because it's not typically considered early intervention, although we would consider that some of our work would be there. It is not reunification. So it is that little, that is that gap that we've identified, that critical piece of work, that if we don't actually support families there, they won't get into reunification and children will stay in care. So having organisations like Community Capital, 10x10, the Day Foundation, even the process of Impact 100 really just opened up the opportunity to be exposed to other organisations that consider structured giving really important.
Let's talk about Impact 100. I know it well. Sure. It's an organisation that each person, you know, gives their $1,000 yeah. combined, and originally it was $100,000, now it's up to $300,000 here in South Australia. But you need to pitch to get that money. How was that process?
It was really nerve-wracking, but what it did give me is the confidence that the work that we're doing is so important, and that if members of an audience who had never met me before, who had never worked in our field, who don't understand child protection because it's removed from their day-to-day life, could understand the value of what we're doing, it was such an important platform for us to be able to speak about our organisation. But then it opened up different opportunities. From there, I had we were able to Mark Day, who was our chairperson, he actually came on board from listening to our pitch on that day and really wanted to get involved, even though he would suggest that he tried to get into retirement. We didn't allow him to do that. So it's really great to have that. Jeff Day also provided an opportunity through the Day Foundation to elevate my skills. I'm a social worker. I'm not a traditional CEO. I haven't done a leadership course, but he opened up opportunities for me to undertake governance courses and things like that. So there was lots of opportunities. Salisbury Council contacted us and said, you can use our spaces anytime you want. So it just opened up opportunities for more connections. So I think it's such an incredible, worthwhile opportunity. And I continue to meet with Kath House from time to time, and she's very generous with her time. So it's an amazing process. And I had Tim Sando as my He was the person that was helping me to make sure that my, you know, just hear my pitch, and he was really great at hearing what we had to do. And when he cried on the first event, that made me know that I was, you know, what we were doing is really worthwhile. So it was an amazing process.
They are all stellar people, and being connected like that makes such a difference for you, exactly. Nadia. And moving forward then, these are positive stories about the child protection system that we don't always get.
Mm-hmm. No, that's true. And I think that's a narrative we need to change, because we hear about the children that are in care and how they struggle, especially in residential care. We hear about the amazing work of foster carers and kinship carers and informal carers that open up their homes to these kids. What we don't hear about is the struggles that families go to. A majority of the time, they are doing the best they can at their time. They are struggling. And with the support and help that they need, they can make incredible sustainable changes. And in the end, what we know from kids through the, you know, organisations that let us know through the CREATE Foundation and the Guardian for Children and Young People, we know that kids want to stay connected to their family, and so that drives our mission. Because we know that, that's what our mission is surrounded by.
And everyone can relate to connected together families, Nadia, so it is a great story. Nadia, thank you so much for sharing today. Can you let the listeners know where they can find out more?
Sure. We have a website, theriley.foundation. You can go over to there and have a look at what we're doing, our workshops and our programs, or you can always contact our office and get in contact with one of our workers.
Thank you for joining us on 5AA, and good luck with everything. It's a fantastic organisation you've developed, Nadia.
Thank you so much, Kevin.